We've all got old stuff that we should toss, but an old 401k, make sure it keeps working for you. A Fidelity rollover IRA has no account fees or minimums to open. An easy-to-follow rollover process makes it simple to get started in under 15 minutes. Plus, you'll have access to a rollover specialist. Whether you've switched jobs or are just organizing your finances, learn more at fidelity.com/rollover. Consider all your options and the applicable fees and features of each before moving your retirement assets. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Everybody, welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined by Denny Carter and Kyle Dvorchik. We have free agency fever, urgent care prescribed steroid and an antibiotic to cure me of that. Last year, the very first free agency recap show we had, I remember we were like scrounging for topics. There have been like three people who had signed, and we were like, Miles Sanders.
Yeah, 12 minutes on Miles Sanders.
Yeah, and I don't think he even signed until like Thursday or Friday this year. Every running back has signed. I mean, almost literally every running back. We have Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. We have Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. We have the Packers swapping out Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones now in Minnesota. DeAndre Swift in Chicago. Tony Pollard in Tennessee. Zach Moss in Cincinnati. Joe Mixon in Houston. Austin Eckler in Washington. Antonio Gibson in Boston. Devin Singletary in New York. Gus Edwards in L.A.
Patches passed out.
Yeah, the steroid is making me an object. I'm actually not sick right now. So we got all the running backs. We have quarterback movement this year. We got Kirk Cousins finalized to Atlanta. Russell Wilson finalized to Pittsburgh. Sam Darnold to the Vikings, LOL. I put in my thing. Denny says not to LOL, though.
Yeah.
At Sam Darnold. We'll get to that. Jacoby Brissett, New England. Gardner Minshew, Vegas. Trying to remember all this stuff. But we'll start the only place we can start. That is with the big dog, Derrick Henry, which we quite literally were screaming at each other about for much of the month of February, whether or not the Baltimore Ravens should sign him. They were listening. I don't know if you knew this. They listened to the Roto-World Football Show. They took notes. They declared that I won the argument. Pat Corain joining my side of the argument put it over the top. That's now why Derrick Henry is on the Ravens. 2 years, $16 million. I mean, not the kind of contract an elite star running back would have gotten even 10 years ago, at least in terms of the cap. So it's still kind of a bargain for the Baltimore Ravens. It seemed like this was going to happen for a while. What do you guys think now that it has actually happened?
Well, the good news is they made it to the AFC Championship last year, and their running game was was part of the problem. They didn't win it. So they have to make the Super Bowl this coming year for you to be right. Otherwise, they didn't improve.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
That's fine. We're comfortable with that. We embrace that.
They don't necessarily have to win the Super Bowl, by the way.
No. If they make it, we concede.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. It's a really good point. Do either of you agree with me? I mean, it's Derrick Henry. So it's weird. Derrick Henry got injured, I believe, in 2021. That was kind of when the narrative finally began. It was too much tread, come off the big dog's tires. Is the aging curve hit him hard? The efficiency has declined. He's remained remarkably durable. Still efficient by power back standards, but he is aging. How much does this truly move the needle for you, Denny?
So our colleague Lawrence Jackson reminded me at the Super Bowl, or informed me for the first time, that Derrick Henry in the regular season was the second leading rusher in the NFL last year.
He's led in carries four of the past 5 years. Every season where he's been healthy, he has led in carries.
And I was like, huh, that is something. You know, if you're putting an emphasis on productivity, he's still productive.
But that was in a horrific offensive environment, of course.
Exactly. I do think that the much improved offensive environment, including a terrifying dual threat quarterback, in Lamar Jackson, I think, can counteract some of the loss of efficiency. I have some numbers to kind of quantify those efficiency issues for Derrick Henry. So in 2023, he was 17th in Next Gen Stats rush yards over expected per attempt. Okay, 17th.
Not bad, to be honest.
Right. Not terrible. Yeah, it was actually an improvement. 23rd in 2022, and then he was 17th in 2021. He was dominant before that. Okay, in those sort of efficiency metrics. So I think you're fooling yourself if you say, okay, like the Ravens get something close to like prime career prime Derrick Henry. I don't think that's it at all. Okay, and from a fantasy perspective, he's going to be touchdown reliant, but that's okay because running backs score a lot of touchdowns in this offense. Ask Gus Edwards. Okay, the most replaceable, sorry Gus, but running back, you know, in the league, and he has, you know, almost double digit touchdowns every single year. So Henry will get there on touchdowns. I don't know about the pass catching. I don't know about the efficiency. It's a boost. I really don't know how much better it makes the Ravens, though.
It makes the Ravens better. If nothing else, it will increase their confidence, which, as you know, part of the argument I kept making was just the mentality. They were afraid. They gave up on the run after seriously three Gus Edwards.
Yeah, that's true.
The AFC Championship game, when everyone knew they had to run against the Chiefs, they got scared and bailed. You were not going to get scared and bailed if Derrick Henry is your lead back. Derrick Henry, despite the decreasing efficiency, as you pointed out, is not inefficient. He's still a running back opposing defenses will actually game plan for, will actually respect. Maybe that, you know, they're not orienting the defensive game plan around Derrick Henry when Lamar Jackson is the quarterback, but they still respect the defense coordinators aren't thinking about Gus Edwards. You know, he's like, no, Thursday. Yeah, they got Gus Edwards or some guy. Justice Hill, is this guy still in the league? Is this updated? As to an assistant coach. And the argument I just want to make again and again and again, when this offense's special trait is the quarterback's legs, do everything you can to enhance that. Defenses have the fear of God of Lamar Jackson running on them. But they didn't have to respect the other players in the backfield. And I just think that came back to haunt the Ravens several times. If it's a run-based offense, if it's an offense where the special trait, even though Lamar Jackson is an elite passer, the special trait is, of course, his legs, enhance that trait, make it even more dangerous by making defenses actually have to fear the backfield. And I do think it makes the Ravens offense. But the question, of course, is just how much he truly has left in the tank. I think he has enough to make a difference in the Ravens offense for at least 1 year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think they paid him like a top 10 running back, but they didn't give him a record setting contract. They only committed to him for 2 years. And if he's going to be paid like a top 5 running back, it comes through incentives. Obviously, like raw yardage, probably part of his incentives, isn't going to necessarily translate to being a better offense. That could
just that's the only stat that matters, by the way, is raw rushing yardage.
It's the like the combined 60 something plays or completed passes and runs, right? That's what like Pete Carroll, I think, would cite that one. Like,
oh yeah,
I have no
clue. Maybe the reason Pete got forced out.
I have no clue what the number was, but it's like combined completed passes and rush attempts. You set that goal, and teams that hit that random goal get there. But if he's going to have a great season, sure, he'll be paid like a top five back. But if he's just good, which is probably the case, he's just good. He's maybe not great anymore. He's paid like a top 10 back, and it's just over 2 years. They didn't break the bank for him. It's always just a matter of opportunity cost. I do think it's like the wide receiver market right now, not like overflowing with players who are like exciting to talk about.
You could say it's terrible.
It's not great. It's not great.
Tyler Boyd is like before the fold. Ooh, yikes. Tyler Boyd is still in the top half of the paper, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So it's all about the opportunity cost. They're not paying him an insane amount of money, but they also still have spots that they need to fill, I think, particularly at receivers, why I brought it up. So, like, I think we'll talk about at least one other running back who I think is just a better value than Derrick Henry, but not breaking the bank and not committing long-term if you're going to spend on running back. That's how you should do it.
I'm just so fascinated by the idea and the debate. Everyone has accepted running back as one of the most replaceable positions in the entire NFL. I, of course, accept that. How could you not? Sometimes I wonder, like, if it really is that replaceable, doesn't it make someone who is clearly above replacement that much more valuable?
I think that's the part of the conversation that gets kind of lopped off. And I've been guilty of that, too, obviously. Anybody who's listened to the show knows that. And I've tried to acknowledge it, that second part of the sentence, which is important. I do think that there are some guys that fit that definition. Obviously, like Christian McCaffrey comes to mind. I don't know if Derrick Henry still fits in that category, but he's not too far away.
Well, it's also tough. It wasn't just 2023 that the offensive environment was bad. It was also 2022. Right.
So I did have one stat that I think jumped out to show the sort of offensive environment upgrade that Derrick Henry is getting in Baltimore. Justice Hill last year was fifth among all running backs in yards before contact per carry. Okay, before contact. Now, Derrick Henry was 52nd out of 63 qualifying running backs. I don't think that that's because Justice Hill is that much better than Derrick Henry.
Because the defense is just scared and frozen. Where's he going to go? Where's Justice going to go? And starts crying. I've never seen a player cry.
And Gus Edwards was top 25 in that category as well. So what I think that means is having Lamar Jackson there as a rushing threat. I mean, as a dual threat, I think opens up things for Derrick Henry, makes things easier on him.
And yeah, for fantasy, this is great. Like it's going to be fun to watch too. Like even as much as I'm like, oh man, passing the ball more often is optimal. Doesn't always mean it's more fun. I mean, watch the Chiefs. Like Pacheco's pretty fun to watch. Like for a game where they're like beating a bad opponent, just let Pacheco do that goofy thing where he stomps really hard a bunch of times. Like, don't throw anymore to MBS or whatever. And although this team, they are pretty fun when they pass, watching Derrick Henry run in this backfield is going to be great. Ian Harditz had a sort of similar-ish version of that stat you had, Denny. Titans last year, 30th in yards before contact per carry as a team. The year before that, 30th. Ravens from 2020 to 2023, first. They are paving massive lanes for their running backs who, like, aren't even great. Like, I do think yard four contact is in part a running back stat as well. It's like a judge of their vision.
Sure.
But man, like, they have been giving their running backs lanes, and Derrick Henry's going to take advantage of
it. And just to connect the dots there, what we're saying is that Derrick Henry might have a head of steam sometimes in Baltimore, where he never had that the last 2 years, I would say, in Tennessee.
Absolutely. So we'll move on from Derrick Henry to the quarterbacks now. Denny, by the way, stop texting me. Kirk Cousins is the actual big dog. You've been texting me this every day. Kirk Cousins will never be the actual big dog.
I photoshopped a picture of his face on a big dog.
Denny has not been texting me about Kirk Cousins. We haven't been talking a ton about Kirk Cousins amongst ourselves this week. We've already talked about it a lot. We've kind of assumed for 2 weeks Kirk was going to end up in Atlanta. So we don't have to talk about this a ton. But my question with Kirk in Atlanta, I wrote up our reaction piece on the site. Check out Denny's rolling reaction piece where he's written up every skill player signing this week. Really, really good stuff. Also stuff in Russell Wilson in there. I wrote the one on Kirk, and what was striking to me was we've taken it as like an article of faith, like Kirk's going to have all these weapons in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They do have more weapons than a lot of teams. But then as I was going, I was like, yeah, you know, Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan, like they're cool. But like this isn't as good as TJ Hockenson, Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson.
Agreed.
And I was like, is this actually, have we been overplaying how many weapons the Falcons have? They do now have another weapon after agreeing to terms with Darnell Mooney on Tuesday. But it's what do we really think about the weaponry in this Falcons skill core? And it's not below average, but is it average or is it above average? Is this getting overstated that he's going from a team with a bunch of weapons to a team with almost as many weapons?
I think it's above average as far as pass catching talent. I mean, Bijan Robinson is a good pass catching back, you know, per the metrics. Never watched a game, but I do see his doing quite well on the screen. So yeah, I think that the problem is like when you leave Justin Jefferson, you're not going to be able to get that back no matter where you go. So, but Drake London is legit. He's a legit real wide receiver one in this league. And with, I think Mooney, we can talk about Mooney in a second. And Mooney's a great addition. Now, they are an injury or two from becoming very, very thin, scary thin at the skill positions. And that might hurt a guy like Kirk Cousins, but I think they're above average.
Yeah. Drake London, by the way, like in terms of like the amount of separation he was gaining, in terms of the amount of cushion opposing defenses were allowing him out of fear, like, it wasn't actually that much different on the next gen stats than Justin Jefferson, where obviously Justin Jefferson is a way better player than Drake London, but he could be a similar role in the offense. And I was ordering Zach Kruger yesterday to look up for me Kirk Cousins' tight window throw percentage, because you have to make some more tight window throws to Drake London, I'm assuming, than he did to Justin Jefferson. And Kirk, he's not like Mr. Tight Window, but he was smack dab in the middle of the pack. He won't be afraid to target Drake London after he wins a hand fight or he's going down the sideline. And Denny, I mean, Darnell Mooney is like kind of been like the classic fantasy. If only he could get a real quarterback, to say nothing of the guy we act like is an amazing quarterback, Justin Fields. were you saying that you kind of thought they were a good mix down the field, Darnell Mooney and Kirk Cousins?
Yeah. So, you know, last year, I mean, Cousins traditionally has been a good downfield passer. He was top five in adjusted yards per attempt on downfield passes. That's qualifies as anything 20 yards or more down in the air downfield. And he was top five in CPOE, completion percentage over expected on those throws. Really good stuff. And so Darnell Mooney's main problem in Chicago was that he didn't have anybody accurate to actually throw it to him when he would scorch defenders downfield. And that obviously what was a problem. I had some stuff actually from ESPN's Mike Clay I wanted to share. He posted this today on the X platform, formerly known as Twitter. So he was a top 20 receiver in target share in both 2021 and 2022, which I had kind of forgotten that. And then when DJ Moore came to town in Chicago, it was over, completely over for him. 13% target share.
It was Moore.
And so I think we're going to get something closer to that 13. We're not going to get that 27 or 25%, obviously, in Atlanta. But we're going to get something more, you know, something in between, maybe 16, maybe 18. And for a guy who can make splash plays, I think that's enough. I think that's enough for him. I mean, look, I think from a team building standpoint, Mooney's really a really good addition. I think that he's vastly underrated. And I think that I think that the money they gave him, I mean, it's a big contract. That there's no way for me to look up the numbers right now, but
I think it was like 3 years, $39 million or something.
I think that they know that. They know he's important. I think fantasy wise, he'll be volatile, but potentially fun.
That is the thing with Darnell Mooney in fantasy, is I get the feeling it might have a bigger real life impact.
Yeah.
Fantasy. And I've always wondered with Darnell Mooney, the fact that the Bears did finally get a real receiver, DJ Moore, last year. And say what you will about Justin Fields, he went nuts targeting DJ Moore. He never went nuts targeting Darnell Mooney.
No.
So I did wonder about that. And by the way, Denny, you cited the CPOE stats with Kirk Cousins. With Kirk only, CPOE is actually COPE.
COPE?
COPE, cope.
Yeah, Denny. Right.
You'll never stop coping with Kirk Cousins. The Steelers, they did stop coping. They stopped the Mason Rudolph cope. They stopped the Kenny Pickett cope. They have officially signed Russell Wilson, Kyle. We've talked about this one a lot, too. I mean, this is going to be learn handoff, buddy. Russell Wilson, what do we think about Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith's offense in Pittsburgh?
Pat, did you write this blurb or did you write the – you wrote the article or did you write both?
I wrote the blurb. Denny wrote the article on Russell Wilson.
I think it was somewhere nestled in your blurb that, like, we're probably seeing a return of Russell Wilson to the days where he was, you know, supposedly handcuffed by his coaching staff, the let Russ cook days. And it turns out that was the best cooking he did by a wide margin. Like, he needed some of those shackles on his game. Do I think that an Arthur Smith offense can succeed in the modern NFL? No. Don't really think I can see
they
that.
They did. They got the number one seed. Ryan Tannehill made. Or no, he was already in Atlanta then. Made the AFC Championship game with Ryan Tannehill in 2020.
I mean, a team has had AJ Brown and prime Derrick Henry and Corey Davis as a wide receiver too. Is a pretty good wide receiver too. Like, I think that was a lot based on the talent and an incredible job coaching, head coaching that is, because Mike Vrabel still. Even after getting fired, I still think he's a really good head coach. I don't know. I struggle to give so much credit there when we have so much more recent, very damning evidence of Arthur Smith's struggles. I don't really see how, in the long term, this can be a winning strategy. But for Russell Wilson, I think it can be a redeeming strategy in that at this point, it seems like he probably would benefit from some of that run pass. And I do think Arthur Smith dials up a good run game on a, like, this is the design of the run level. He just does not know when to utilize that run and who to utilize it with, frankly. So I think for Russell Wilson, it's actually not that bad of a fit and that he needs.
It's not. It's about as good of a fit as he could have possibly.
I think it's perfect. I actually think it's a perfect fit. They can make him Seattle, not Seattle Russ, but you know, something close to it. Arthur Smith under no circumstances is going to let Russell Wilson cook. Thank God.
No.
Okay. No. And they got, by the way, they got him for free. This is the thing that makes it a perfect fit, is that who cares if it doesn't work? They're paying $1.2 million. Who cares?
I will say the concern with Russ is that this was already tried last year by Sean Payton and was not as good. When they went on this little win streak they had here, let's see here.
I don't think it was tried.
It was 5 or 6 games in a row. These were Russell Wilson's pass attempts. 29, 19, 29, 22, 26, 35. I mean, Sean Payton had already did the under no circumstances are you allowed to pass Russ. It wasn't that well designed. The personnel was not very – no one hated the Broncos offensive personnel more than Sean Payton. So it wasn't exactly like the best offensive personnel. It probably is a little better in Pittsburgh.
But I will say
– that is my fear, though.
You said that – so they tried it last year. They got a win streak out of it. I mean, the thing is the defense turned around. The defense went from just getting gashed every single week, iconically by Miami, to like 2 weeks later just got their stuff together. And shortly afterwards, they were able to afford a quarterback who can throw 23 times a game and still win. Like they handled Russell Wilson and got wins out of it. They did not utilize, they were unable to, because he just didn't have it anymore. So yeah, but I think that's got to be part of the Steelers' game plan, is hope to pop some explosive plays. As Denny pointed out, maybe not so much in garbage time, try and do the explosive plays in the first, second, and third quarters and rely on a good defense and a very well-coached team. But like, what is the long-term plan? The long-term plan should be like, maybe Russell Wilson does become Seattle Russ again, at which point you can negotiate a new deal. And if he doesn't, you have invested nothing but your time, which you know, you'd rather not, but you've invested no money. So
is the Russ Moonball even still good?
It is. No, he was good on the deep stuff last year. I have it in my article. No way for me to look it up at the moment, but yeah, it's still, I mean, he's still aggressive. He's still, you know, top 10 in downfield passing rate. And that's with a head coach. But you know, Sean Payton, he just was never in. He was never in.
Disdain comes to mind.
Yeah. He was clearly disgusted by the idea of Russell Wilson as his franchise quarterback from the moment he got the Broncos job. And he said, I'm tired of this guy kissing babies and being a politician. That's actually a real quote. About Russell Wilson, he was
I had never heard of a quarterback having their own office in the building, right? Yes, he said that in the first training camp he got into.
So he threw Russell Wilson, yes, Kyle, under the bus completely, immediately, strategically. And then he said, "I'm going to bench you if you don't take a pay cut or readjust your contract." All this, you know, very
Machiavellian.
Yeah, right. Anyway, it was a disaster from the start. I think the Steelers are going to be more interested in Russell Wilson succeeding.
We hope so. It'd be hard to be less interested in Russ than either Pete Carroll was at the end, Sean Payton was at the beginning, Nathaniel Hackett, this poor guy, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He was scared. It was the Tim Robinson skit where he got in his car. I don't know what any of this does.
That's really good, actually. Yeah,
I'm so scared. Nathaniel Hackett, he's the second guy who just broke down on the field weeping. You didn't used to see this in the NFL. Now we got linebackers weeping when they see Justice Hill and Nathaniel Hackett weeping when he sees an offense he's supposed to run. But so we'll see. Vikings fans will soon be weeping at Sam Darnold, because give me a freaking break with this, man. Like, seriously, just give me a break. Well, my opinion on Sam Darnold signing with the Vikings, this might be too out there, too far afield. Do you know, like, movie studios now, they're obsessed with intellectual property, IP. They buy some, like, young adult trilogy. It was 3 books. We're going to make 3 awesome movies.
A Percy Jackson.
They're going to be huge global
hits. Avatar for the 9th time.
Exactly. And then the first one just totally bombs. And like, well, crap. We already have this IP. We still got to make the second and third movies. And like, the second movie was Sam Darnold with the 49ers. This one was, like, kind of a surprise hit in Asia. So made a little bit of money. So now they're hoping, they're praying the third one is going to be a hit in America. That is Sam Darnold, the Minnesota Vikings, my opinion, Denny. But Denny says, he says not to LOL at Sam Darnold. Very curious.
Yeah, I mean, apparently you and Greg Rosenthal are already just completely out on Darnold. The guy is 26 years old. Okay.
Yep. Not making me more in.
There was real talk among 49ers beat writers last year that he could be the starting quarterback for the Niners.
And then he didn't come close.
No, because Kyle Shanahan was going to start Brock Purdy whether he had a right arm or not.
That's true. That is true.
And so I did this obviously earlier today on Kevin Clark's show. I pointed out that look,
now you know Kevin Clark too, huh?
I do. I stole your friend. Sorry. I look back at Darnold's six game run with the Panthers a couple years ago, and guys, I hate to report, he was good.
Oh, give me a break, man! The whole thing they ran like 230 yards a game.
I know he led the league in completion rate over expected over that six games. Led the league. What do you want from him? I think that is a little curious. I think that this system, this Kevin O'Connell system, where Nick Mullins, this is, by the way, this part is purely for fantasy. Okay. We're having a discussion that's kind of meandering back and forth between real football, fake football. From a real football standpoint, this stinks. Okay. It's not going to work.
What?
Okay.
What about this whole he led the league in cope a year ago?
Yeah, he led in cope.
No, this is going to be terrible. Everybody's going to be fired over this. But from a fantasy standpoint, this will be good. And that's what I care about. Okay. Nick Mullins was serviceable. And I know Pat was going to have an absolute aneurysm right now thinking about Nick Mullins, but I'm telling you, Nick Mullins was okay as a fantasy distributor. Okay. So Sam Darnold is much better than I'm saying is much better.
Nick Mullins was good as a fan distributor is putting it lightly. He was a chucker. He was just throwing it up there. Anyone anywhere.
He had watched a few NFL films on like the 1974 Super Bowl where they used to throw and it was just a chuck, like you said.
Yeah, I'm telling you that Darnold is really good for Addison, for Hockenson, obviously. He's good.
Really, really good. We need him to be the distributor. We need this to be all about Kevin O'Connell just designing layups for his weapons, yeah. Which he did do for Nick Mullins, like you say, kind of did for Josh Dobbs. The astronaut then got stranded and died on Mars. That's why they had to return to Nick Mullins. But we'll see. I mean, what about do you remember the last time Sam Darnold, what he was famous for when he was a starter, was perceiving pressure that was not there. And of course, himself mouthing, "I am seeing ghosts." Yeah. And you can't really teach that out of a quarterback, I feel like.
No.
Yeah.
No. Thanks. Sam Darnold should thank NFL Films for ruining his career.
He really, really should. That was bad. They did him dirty there. We're going to do our audience dirty by taking a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Spring training is here. So for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide and use promo code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout.
Is it just me, or is it getting really hard to figure out the best way to save for retirement? Fidelity can help you find clarity so you can save the best way for you. With a free personalized plan, goal tracking, and timely insights, you'll be set to take on retirement your way. Get started at fidelity.com/future. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Check out our mock draft that we filmed on Tuesday, coming out on the NBC YouTube page, NBC Sports YouTube page Thursday evening. Myself, DJ Short, Matthew Pouliot, Eric Smolski, we draft some baseball teams. Yeah, very, very good show. Very good stuff. really, really smart guys. I did okay, but I actually I wilted once or twice when they were talking to me and I was trying to pick. Like normally, you know, I can just like I can have like three thoughts going on at once, and I was like, baseball, success. I can't.
I heard. I heard Aaron Judge is done. He's finished.
He is. He's on Kyle's team too, by the way.
Pat made me play fantasy baseball.
I did.
I'm not having fun. They use relievers. The guys who don't even.
Really?
You tell me, like, next we're going to integrate placeholders into our fantasy football leagues? It's insane. These people are sick, Denny. Don't ever join them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Denny, I didn't even ask Denny. I knew what the answer would be.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you.
My answer was also what Denny's answer did.
I'll say no.
I literally said no. And then Pat's like, someone quit. You have to do it.
Aiden Winks quit. And get the new numbers guy in there. Come on. It can't be that hard. So Kyle's drafting a baseball league. We are drafting fantasy football running backs next season. I demanded Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. I also demanded Saquon Barkley to the Philadelphia Eagles and Denny and I's free agency primer. That happened in the opening moments of free agency. 3 years, I believe $37 million. This one I'm a little less sure on. With the Eagles, I kind of made a similar argument I made to with the Ravens. Like, you guys want to be a balanced offense. You want to sometimes be run first, and yet you have a system where it's designed where the lead back is always coming off the field on the most important snaps. Like, how many moments of this, like, mini Eagles dynasty, like Kenneth Gainwell or Boston Scott, been taking the most important snaps? This seemed like a very, very unideal way to run your backfield when you want to be a balanced or sometimes run first team. I thought they needed someone that can actually stay on the field for all three downs if need be. They don't have to be like shuttling off for some special package with the number two running back. So I like the Saquon Barkley addition to the Eagles through that lens. But, you know, the efficiency has been declining. He was not a good pass catcher last year. Like Derrick Henry, he was in a horrible offensive environment. Just how do you guys feel about Saquon on the Eagles? He got a lot more money than Mr. Derrick Henry did.
I'll go first. I do think that he has a better shot than DeAndre Swift to grab a three down role, at least for the time being. I will say that Sal Palantonio was on ESPN today saying that the Eagles could draft a running back in the upcoming
draft.
So we'll see about that. I will say that whoever is the running back lining up either behind or alongside Jalen Hurts is not going to score any touchdowns. And that is a fact of life. So, you know, that's going to hurt. That's going to hurt a lot. That means that Barkley is going to have to be really involved in the passing game. It means that he's going to have to be efficient with his early down touches. If that's in the cards, I mean, that would be a very different runner than we've seen the last couple of years. I think that he has a good chance to be overdrafted, maybe vastly overdrafted in redraft leagues.
I did feel like Saquon, he was 13th in rush yards over expected, average rush yards over expected. So he was another guy who was a lot more efficient than his 3.9 yards per carry would lead people to believe in that just horrendous Giants offense. He was still eighth in 10-plus yard carries, so he's still getting some of those explosives in there. But you know, he's always been a home feast or famine. Just a lot of famine in that Giants offense. But we also don't really know, Kyle, what's going to happen with the Eagles rushing attack. Jason Kelce might have been one of the most important like run game members like of any offense in the entire NFL in the 21st century. It's possible the whole operation collapses without him. But do you have any positive or negative thoughts on Saquon to the Eagles?
Yeah, I think this is probably a vastly worse signing than Derrick Henry committing more money over more time for a team that has more flaws. Like, unlike the Ravens last year, where, like, at least for them, like, they needed more receiver help, I think, but their defense was really good last year. Can't say that for the Eagles. I guess they don't need the receiver help as much, but their defense just is completely littered with holes. So it's harder for me to justify them affording this move when, like, can't afford luxuries, but it's not smart to quote afford yourself luxuries because every team is improving. If you don't improve as much as they do, you've taken a step back. But if we're splitting hairs, some teams can more afford luxuries than other teams. I don't think the Eagles are a team that can afford to be spending this much money on running back with all the gaps they have on their defensive side of the ball. Like you said, now they also have work to do on their offensive line. So I think it's probably a good landing spot for Saquon Barkley. I do think he has a good shot at playing all three downs. His receiving numbers have declined, but he has been his best pass blocking self over the past 2 years. By far, he's been one of the league best pass blockers, period, over the past 2 years. I think if that's something the Eagles value, which they almost certainly do, he could stay out there for all three downs, but he's probably not scoring touchdowns. And the Eagles aren't a running back target heavy team. And Barkley hasn't been the most efficient pass catcher over the past few years. So is he a dynamic pass catcher anymore? I don't know, really. I tend to say probably not. Is he going to get the goal line work? We know that's almost certainly not the case. I think Derrick Henry outscores him quite easily. And I think Saquon Barkley, like Denny says, maybe gets overdrafted on hype.
I have a few thoughts here. Where is he really a luxury for the Eagles when you think about it? Where the Eagles, since they went run heavy midway through the 2021 season, have been an offense where it seemed like the passing game would get into ruts. And anytime the passing game started to struggle, they would do this thing where they committed to the run for like a half or sometimes a game or two. And they would
Did that with Chuba Hubbard's backup. You can do that with a lot of guys.
It would kind of reset, rebalance the offense. They couldn't do it with DeAndre Swift last year when they were 10-1 and the sky fell in. The running game and Jalen Hurts that couldn't move because of his injured knee. The running game did not come to their savior. And I think that was part of the reason they made the signings. They want to be able to have like that escape hatch, that safety valve of the running game. And I do think with in terms of the goal line carries, 2024, we're going to see like a different Jalen Hurts. I think they're going to try to stop having Jalen Hurts take so many hits finally. And I think they're going to – maybe part of the reason why he got – part of it was, of course, the tush push led by the now retired Jason Kelce. And that I think they're just going to want to start finally saving some of these hits for Jalen Hurts. And they actually have a running back now they'll feel comfortable handing the ball off to. They never trusted Miles Sanders. They never trusted DeAndre Swift. And that I think that the notion that Saquon's going to score zero touchdowns is going to get overplayed like pretty significantly this summer.
You know, he'll probably score. I mean, the Eagles, even like in the best Miles Sanders year, they had good like fantasy points expected numbers for their running backs because they ran the ball a lot and they got into the red zone a lot. When you even if at the one you give the ball to the quarterback, they have a lot of plays inside the red zone in general that can score. I think, I mean, to your point, like we did see them reorient themselves a lot of times when they had opponents who were weak against the run. They would beat them up physically. They would do that. And then, of course, if they had teams that couldn't get pressure, they would just bomb A.J. Brown over them. And like the Steelers, I remember, couldn't stop that one time. But I think the fact that they did that with Miles Sanders tells you what you need to know about how this team is set up. Like, maybe don't do it set up with Swift.
The offensive line was even better that year, and the defense was actually good, is how they got away with it with Miles Sanders. I think now they think that they're not as complete of a roster as they were. That maybe like the Ravens, they actually need to invest a few resources in the running back position.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to be like, we're not a complete roster. We were one of the worst teams against the pass last year. How do we fix that?
Yeah, you fix that, of course, by running it 40 times a game. Yeah, the best offense is the best defense is a good offense.
Yes, that's the way the phrase goes.
But it's not going to be a good offense if you're just running it that much. I mean, they needed to bring in a new running back, especially with like how DeAndre Swift fit, or I don't think fit quite as well with their backfield.
Metrics absolutely hated him. He was horrible in terms of
not great. Well, he got paid though, so good for him.
He did.
I would say they probably should have just invested differently. I don't think it's bad for them to invest in the running back position. Like all teams need to spend something on it. I just don't think they were a team that needed to be one of the biggest spenders in the league at running back.
Producer Adam says that DraftKings has set Saquon's over under on rushing touchdowns at 8.5. I feel good about the under.
I'm taking the over, man. No Kelce. And after watching Jalen Hurts limp through the season last year, I think they're going to have a change of philosophy.
I don't know if that had anything to do with the tush push, though.
Well, see, no, Kelce was the pilot of the tush push. And now he's sure
they can find someone else to dive at guys' knees. And
I actually don't think so. I mean, we've seen every other team tries it and like, yeah, they lost 2 yards.
Well, that's because, wait a second. No, that's because Jalen Hurts is special.
Hurts is special, but it so
he Kelce. he can leg press a tank. And then they're like, oh, let's do it with Kyle Murray, and he gets Kyler Murray.
Sub in Clayton Toon for short packet for short area packages. Yeah. If you remember. And you know what would have been awesome? They should maintain the tush push. They should have signed Derrick Henry because he plays a wildcat quarterback like two snaps a game. That would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Forgot what we're talking about, Denny. I think weren't you really excited, or were you maybe was more weirded out by the Packers signing Josh Jacobs, and they got rid of Aaron Jones. I thought you had a tweet about this.
Well, I did. So the and I think that Aaron Jones is probably better overall than Josh Jacobs. I mean, it's not a huge difference, but what I'm excited about is Josh Jacobs being able, who has had seasons where he's approached 400 touches. He could see that sort of workload because AJ Dillon's gone. I'm sure he's going to go to Aaron Rodgers.
And don't say that too soon, man.
You know,
it's going to be Saturday. They're going to re-sign him for $1.2
million. And so we're not going to look at this Green Bay backfield and go, okay, Josh Jacobs is the 1A and so-and-so is the 1B. I don't think that we're going to enter the season like that. I think this is going to be a real workhorse situation. Josh Jacobs can do that. He's been a good pass catcher. Not a great one, but a good one in his time with the Raiders. So yeah, I'm excited about the opportunity, the glut of touches that this guy is going to get in a good offense and an ascendant offense with a good quarterback.
I wonder how much better the Packers run game could have been the past 4 years if they just did not use AJ Dillon.
So much better. Like Aaron Jones is a really good player, and they were asking him to take a 50% pay cut, which is just atrocious.
The year before AJ Dillon got there, Aaron Jones had 236 carries. He scored 16 touchdowns. He caught 50 passes, and it was amazing. They made the NFC Championship game. Maybe they should have just kept doing that instead of giving.
They got so wrapped up with AJ Dillon. I feel like it was, but I feel like that happened in fantasy too, where the entire fantasy community was just like, "Look at this guy's quadzilla. Look at him." Who cares?
Well, it's quite bad. Aaron Jones, I think they just got spooked by the hamstring stuff last year, and he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, he was great last year. Just it took a while for us to see him, but he crushed in PFF's metrics. He was both top 10 in PFF rushing grade and yards after contact. And Josh Jacobs struggled in every metric last year. He was buried in every metric. He was really good the year before, and I think that's what they're betting on. I think it's fair to downweight last year for Jacobs in terms of like, is that truly who he is? Probably not. That team was a dumb train wreck for most of the year.
It was a classic. If you hold out, if you don't report, you're just going to be bad for some reason.
Well, that, but also Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy G.
That's true.
Yep. Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy G.
They cut Jimmy G during this podcast. Who could have seen that coming? The guy just had so much passion for the game.
He loves one thing we know Jimmy G loves to do is to play football.
yes. Yeah, it was not a good environment last year, though, Kyle, for Josh Jacobs in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, not a good environment. So I don't want to. I mean, the metrics reference try to separate the player from the environment. But at running back, we know how difficult that is to do. But to jettison Aaron Jones, who looked really good last year, like an odd decision to say the least.
Well, it is. I think it's just all about he was, like you said, he was great once we finally saw him, but it took forever to finally see him, and he's going to turn 30 years old, and they're just not going to bet on that.
Well, he missed six games with the hamstring.
And he was limited for like six other games.
And when they tried to bring him back, and he hurt it again. So yeah, I he's 29. He's entering his age 30 season. The Packers are not playing around with that stuff. Like they're not like, well, maybe for this guy, his age 30 season will be good.
Mm-hmm. They will once they re-sign AJ Dillon.
But
Josh Jacobs right now looks like a top five running back.
I mean, I would say that's conservative.
It's a really good setup.
Might be a top three, which he was very recently.
Yep, I think wasn't he RB1 overall 2 years ago?
I believe
ago?
So. He led in touches and yards from scrimmage, I believe. So
I think he led in just all the care. I think he led in yards too, like just rushing.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs is a guy. I mean, it depends on the kind of league you're in. I mean, I'm sure in like best ball leagues, he's going at the 102 now. But you know, I do think he could be a value in normie leagues.
Aaron Jones is back in a committee, a 1 year, $7 million deal in Minnesota. Weird. Ty Chandler kind of strikes me on paper as like a poor man's Aaron Jones. And I'm not quite sure what their plans are for this committee. Does it spell doom, of course, for Ty Chandler, my dynasty guy, Aaron Jones in Minnesota?
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying how good I thought Aaron Jones was last year. And it's a low commitment. Like it's decent money for Aaron Jones, but just over 1 year. Or just it's at 1 year, it's like $7 million, I think, if I remember correctly. So they're not wholly committed to him, but it's not like they spent a high draft pick on Ty Chandler either. So to me, all else being equal, the investment between the two players would tell me to lean Aaron Jones. and the talent differential would tell me to lean Aaron Jones. So maybe this doesn't spell doom for Ty Chandler, because he did do really well when he was granted the backfield. We just talked about how unhealthy Aaron Jones has been. Not only did he miss six games last year, he hasn't played a full season. He played one full season in the past four seasons. So there's probably some good spike week, like, you know, maybe a better and like a better and managed, really, because you're going to know when you want to start him if he's just purely a backup. I do think, though, like, just the talent differential probably wins over for Aaron Jones over the long haul.
Aaron Jones has been in the league 7 years and has played the maximum amount of games two times. So, and now
he's a lot.
Now it is 30. He's always avoided the big one.
I was going to say he plays dinged up a lot. He misses two games here and three games there, and plays through it. As we talked about, he re-injured it last year. Has avoided the big one, like you said, but has never avoided a single small one.
We were talking about Sam Darnold being a distributor. I just realized. So remember, the Vikings defense was like one of the three or four best in the league, like the final like 75% of the season.
I was going to say it was most of the season. They had like three bad games and really turned it around.
They did, and now they're investing in their backfield. They have two backs. The distribution days are over. I just realized. Darnold, get ready to learn 2022 Panthers, buddy.
Oh, it's no. This is Kevin O'Connell, man. He's
Kevin
not
going to do that.
Kevin's adaptable. Kevin's adaptable.
No. It's not going to be like a top three pass rate over expected type deal, but I still think it'd be top half of the league.
You're ready to learn Deontay Foreman and Chuba Hubbard, buddy. No, he actually doesn't need to learn it. He already knows it.
I mean, even with Nick Mullins, they were throwing it 48 times a game.
That's because that was how they were designed last year, though.
They had good defense. You just said it. They had a good defense.
They did.
And by the way, next gen stats, I looked strongly into it before the show. They love Ty Chandler. Wow.
That Nick Mullins throw was the worst throw any of us have ever seen, right? The interception at the end of that game.
It's either that or a Trevor Lawrence Hail Mary attempt.
You are such a hater.
The guy threw it. He tried to throw it 50 yards. It went like 37.
He's probably hurt.
There are some pretty like iconic last throw of the tenure there. Baker Mayfield has a really bad interception in like his final game with the Browns. He just stares down a linebacker and chucks it right into his face. Jameis Winston ended the 30 for 30 season, 30 touchdowns, 30 picks with an overtime pick six, if I remember correctly. Some iconic bad throws.
My favorite bad throw ever, I believe it was Brett Favre's last throw as a Jet. They had to win the game to have any.
Yep.
I think they're in the I form, and there was a run, and he called an audible for like a hot read and did a hot slant read.
It was fixed
right through the linebacker.
Is that's yeah, not that, the one though? We're talking about like
not the Vikings game. NFC Championship game one,
because that's the one that the Jordan Love one got comped to, because it looks very similar.
The Jets one is a forgotten memory from
the Vikings one. I was actually scared.
He
wasn't moving on the field.
Oh, you're not even talking about the NFC Championship game one. When he ran it back the next year, our guy couldn't move many times.
Oh man,
we still got a lot of running backs here. who's next?
Zach Moss.
Here's my exact show sheet prompt. Bears were amped to get DeAndre Swift. Really, really, really wanted to get DeAndre Swift. They signed
they really were
tampering. 3 for 24, Denny. Seemed a little too into the idea of DeAndre Swift.
I do want to say my Bears are planning to build a dome, guys. And you know why? Because they want Caleb Williams to succeed. Okay. And now he has a chance. He's going to be playing 10 games in
draft as Doomer once, then you have to build a dome.
that's cool. Whatever it takes is what I say. Whatever it takes to get out of the cold. All right. So yeah, DeAndre said terrible signing, obviously.
Real
quick, people are gonna be like, well, why did the fantasy guys all love DeAndre Swift last year? And I think we wanted him to get the kind of opportunity he got last year, and then he got it and wasn't good. Yes,
and it's kind of a Pollard situation. Where you're like, if this guy only had all the touches, we could extrapolate this production to all the touches. And it doesn't work like that for a lot of guys. And Swift is one of them. The Bears last year led the league, or were number two maybe in yards before contact per rush. And they were getting it done with relative no names, with Deontay Foreman, with Khalil Herbert and some other guy,
Roshan Johnson.
Roshan Johnson,
who was
right?
Terribly bad.
And right. And I mean, so none of those guys are very good, and they were getting it done. And so they immediately overpay for a running back. It's a very poorly run organization, I think. But from a fantasy standpoint, I guess Swift could be fine if he does get, you know, like a lead back role.
They seem too comfortable with committees at this point.
Well, yeah, it's true. And but then again, I don't know if I want that for Swift. I don't know if that's how he should be used in the NFL.
I can't remember. I keep forgetting if it was the Titans or the Texans that signed Tony Pollard. It was the Tennessee Titans, who seemed, again, equally amped to get Tony Pollard. I feel like there's a better bounce back case for Tony Pollard. Not that we're totally writing off DeAndre Swift. Pollard, at least it could come down to he was not healthy last year.
Dude, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like that's maybe played up a little much, the whole leg thing. But
yeah, your whole just shattering your leg thing and coming back and
wait. When I mentioned it last summer, I got written off. I was like, wait, didn't he end the season by being ambulanced off?
Yeah,
the
cut his leg. Yeah, cut his. Yeah, we'll edit.
And then I was told, well, it wasn't a knee. Okay. All right.
Turns out we regret the error.
I mean, Pollard, look. Pollard is not nearly as good as Tajay Spears. So let's just remember that.
He won before last year. He was twice as good as Tajay Spears was as a rookie.
This going into the season, as Pollard is drafted above Tajay Spears, right, Kyle? This is how it's going to go?
Probably.
Okay. So we just remember you're getting the better running back when you take Spears later. Just remember.
I'm down for that. I mean, like, Pat, you're like, oh, the situation here, the situation there for Austin Ekeler, for Josh Jacobs. Generally, I'm like, we're trying to control for these situations. We're not going to do it perfectly. But when a running back whose team lets him walk has just come off a bad season and he's already 5 years into his career, when they have that bad season, like, history tells us more tend to follow. As much as I love Tony Pollard, it's hard for me to be like, but my sweet Tony Pollard, I make an exception for because I love him so much. When, like, Tajay Spears was better than him last year. Obviously, Pollard was great 2, 3, and 4 years ago. But, like, I think at running back, just the dynamics of the position that when, I don't even say old, because these guys aren't that old, but when a guy who's been in the league 4 to 5 years starts to fall off, it happens quickly, and we should be hesitant, very hesitant to bet on that guy. Tajay Spears was good last year, and he's been in the NFL for 1 year.
I was conversing with producer Adam, trying to figure out what we're going to do next.
By the way, is there any worse one-for-one replacement than losing Derrick Henry and replacing him with Tony Pollard? Here's a guy, Tony Pollard last year, there was an iconic play where he got his entire body into the end zone but did not score a touchdown.
Well, and remember,
Derrick Henry is the ultimate bulldozing guy at the goal line. He cannot be stopped within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Tony Pollard last season had 60 carries inside the 20-yard line. I believe it was second or third in the entire league, and he scored 5 touchdowns.
How? I kept putting him in the regression files because I was like, mathematically, this isn't possible for him to not.
It actually is not. It is not.
And every time I would see him like with like a wide open lane to the end zone, and he wouldn't get there, and it was maddening. I don't know if he's good.
I don't know. The problem is, even if it is the injury, as Kyle kind of alluded to, the NFL, it's small margins. If you lose 2 to 3% of your explosiveness, that might be enough for it to just be over.
Yeah.
And so even if his body is all the way back to its new baseline this year, it might not matter if his baseline is 2 to 3% off what it was 2 years ago. That's kind of like the really cruel nature of being a explosive skill player in the NFL. That if you lose anything, there's always someone behind you who hasn't lost anything and is ready to take touches from you. We're ready to talk a few more topics right after this. This week, the best on the PGA Tour take on TPC Sawgrass for the 50th time for the Players' Championship. Don't miss the best golfers in the world Thursday through Sunday on NBC Golf Channel with all rounds streaming on Peacock. Comcast Business is a proud partner of the Players' Championship in addition to Optum and Morgan Stanley.
The path to retirement is different for everyone. And as life changes, so do priorities. Fidelity can help you get where you want to go. With a free personalized plan, goal tracking, and timely insights, you'll be set to take on retirement. whether you're saving for it or already living in it. Get started at fidelity.com/takeon. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Denny, is TP Sawgrass a long course? Or is
it's not. It's not. I may have said the opposite on Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher and Drew Densig yesterday. But you all should check out the show.
You really should. Denny is a golf sicko.
We got to talk. Yeah, we got to talk data, golf data. And as soon as I started talking about Grayson Sig, they tried to cut my mic. It was reminiscent of the way that Pat tries to cut my mic when I talk up Johnny Munt as a streamer.
You should cut my mic if I start talking up Grayson Rodriguez, even though he's actually very, very good for the Baltimore Orioles. Denny's been an Orioles fan since 69.
I have.
Of course. The Bengals, they chose Zach Moss over Joe Mixon. Very unfair. I thought I sounded like someone. yeah, they did do that, though. Joe Mixon, finally, after 7 years, has been cut. Ever since like 2019, though, this might be the year they cut him.
It really is. I've done at least 20 blurbs on Mixon being cut.
And he wasn't even cut. He was actually traded.
I know.
In Houston. We'll talk about Joe Mixon in a minute. The Bengals decided Zach Moss, because the salaries are similar, Kyle. They decided Zach Moss is better than Joe Mixon. Zach Moss was an advanced stat darling last year. He did horribly run out of steam at the end of the season. He ruined many, many a DFS lineup. What do we think about Zach Moss becoming the new lead back for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, I think it'll make sense, especially if you give, if you as in the team, give Chase Brown more work, because he was so extremely explosive. And you're right, he definitely seemed to run out of steam towards the end of the year after balling out as the starting back. I think, I don't know if it was technically broken, but I think he broke his arm, missed week one, and immediately came in to like 20 to 30 touches plus high efficiency on that. Extremely hard to do, like you said, as evidenced by the fact that he couldn't do it forever. But I do think if he is spelled with another player, both of them can thrive in an offensive environment that's designed for running backs to thrive, because so much of the attention, deservedly so, is going to be focused on the passing game.
You mentioned Zach Moss being an advanced stat darling, and so I am going to darling him up. That's not a word. That's not a phrase. But
butter him up.
Fifth in rush yards over expected last year, ahead of guys like Breece Hall, Isaiah Pacheco, Raheem Mostert, guys of that nature. He did only face stacked boxes at one of the league's lowest rates, so that is something to consider. But I will say that Joe Mixon also faced
Not be stacking the box against Joe Burrow.
Right, a very low rate at 15% Mixon faced last year. Here, let me rephrase that. Mixon faced 8-man boxes on 15% of his rushes last year. It was the bottom 10 rate. So yeah, I mean, with Burrow, if he's fully healthy, and you're just not going to stack the box. So he should see a favorable environment here. If he gets some targets, like the Mixon type targets, could be good. But Chase Brown is there, and Chase Brown is very, very.
I will say, it almost seems like a situation that arises in fantasy where people get really, really in on like a late round running back. Like, I know he's the 1B right now in his committee, but like, we're going to go on. This is the ticket to winning this year. And like, I feel like when teams get cued in the backfield, it like never works either. So it doesn't work in fantasy a lot of times. I feel like it has a high failure rate in real life too. Think like, we're the one team that appreciates Zach Moss and we're going to make it work. And then, it just easily doesn't work.
I think Zach Moss is pretty good. And I think that Mixon is, talk about a guy who the metrics hate. Mixon, yeah. Mixon is a longtime enemy of the metrics.
Longtime enemy of the metrics, who's now in Houston. Boy, let me tell you, the metrics did not like Devin Singletary or Damian Pierce last year.
Don't group my guy Singletary with Pierce. Pierce is literally the worst running back in the league.
He was, but Singletary was also one of them. There was this orders of magnitude worse from Damian Pierce. So, I mean, Singletary's not good. Everyone knows this. he has a way of being better than your number two back. But
dude, I think maybe we're worked up about the Giants paying him like he's Derrick Henry. But
I get you on Thursday,
and I don't really understand that. The Giants front office maybe has their reasons. I doubt it. But Singletary was fine. Let's not talk about Singletary. Let's talk about Mixon. Okay. So Mixon, if he does keep a lead back role like he had in Cincinnati, should be good. He should be able to, I think, carry over a lot of what he was doing in Cincinnati.
Which he doesn't even have to be good. It's another offense where he doesn't even have to be
exactly.
Good.
And it's a good offensive. Tell that
Damian Pierce did not take that long for that guy to not be good and get the boot.
Well, Damian Pierce, they can't even get like a single first down. Like Joe Mixon can convert like a third and two, and like he can catch a ball on like third and four. Damian Pierce just looked like he couldn't even move last year.
Damian Pierce is the only guy that I've ever seen, I think, where he'll have like a gap to run through that's like maybe 6 yards wide, and he can't even reach the gap.
Like, not trying to be like impolite, but Damian Pierce does need to lose weight. Like he was clearly too big last year. He played too big. He just played too big. He's in amazing shape, of course. He's in the NFL. He played too big. I thought it was noticeable. But Damian Pierce, where he needs to kind of remake his body, I feel like.
It was kind of evident in the advanced stuff last year, where he still broke tackles pretty well last year. That's something he did an extreme clip his first year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But last year, he would break tackles and go nowhere. He just wasn't providing any long speed. It was somewhat true of his rookie year, but nothing like it was last year. I still think the Texans are a decent shot to add meaningful running back talent, almost certainly to the draft, because the meaningful running back talent has already been signed if they're free agents right now. But given how little their investment in Mixon is and how little they seem to want to use Damian Pierce, to me they make sense to be a team that adds a third round pick.
The investment in Mixon is not small from a salary standpoint. He did not have to slash his salary. It's still like $7 million, which mean isn't like league leading for running back, but it's not like money balling the running back position with Joe Mixon.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll see. Final topic of the day. Talking about our guy Austin Ekeler is down, just unfathomable. 2 year, $11.4 million. I think only like $3 or $3.5 million guaranteed with the Commanders, with Cliff Kingsbury. He tried to guard against this. He knew he's got to get paid last summer. He did everything he could, and then he didn't. And then the nightmare scenario happened: high ankle sprain in a bad offense, and had a horrible year. Now he's getting paid like just a guy when he has been anything but just a guy, kind of like a no justice type outcome for Austin Ekeler. But very, very hard to be optimistic about Austin Ekeler being like part of a Commanders committee, Denny Carter.
Yeah, I mean, Ekeler and Brian Robinson are maybe the least inspiring backfield committee that I can remember.
I will say he's better than Isaiah Spiller, Larry Roundtree, and Joshua Kelly. I'll say that for Brian Robinson.
Yeah, no, I think Brian Robinson's fine. Like, no, he's a perfectly fine grinder. It's just not fun, right? It's just not fun. You don't think he's going to like really be a threat to break the long one. He's not super dynamic, and you hope that Ekeler adds that dynamism to the now two-punch backfield. But man, like, you think if what you're signing Ekeler for at this point in his career, and if you have Brian Robinson that kind of confirms that, is his dynamism as a pass catcher. We didn't really see as much of that last year for a team that was so desperate to target anyone. I mean, like, we were looking at, like, I guess Alex Erickson's the best player on this team in week 18.
It's
like,
just Kellen Moore fake sharp stuff. That's all it was.
Yeah, I got to think to some degree Austin Ekeler should have been able to earn some level of targets like he did the year before. Not that he wasn't targeted last year. We saw 2 years ago, like when the cards were dealt and it was no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams 2 years ago, it was 10 target games for Austin Ekeler. They just didn't do that last year. And so, like, let's say maybe they do that this year. Ekeler was still a good pass catcher last year. He was easily top 20. probably in terms of talent, you could still call him top 15, yeah. maybe fringe top 10, but like they bring in Cliff Kingsbury. He brings in his guy, Zach Ertz. They bring in Austin Eckler. Mm-hmm. They have not re-signed, I don't think, Curtis Samuel yet. And we've already seen, like, I think the Jahan Dotson experiment completely flopped and has almost certainly run its course as of last year. Terry McLaurin also coming off of a down year, given how much they passed. Like, I'm pretty underwhelmed by the talent they're about to surround a rookie quarterback with. And much like we've talked about the Chargers, where they are cards on the table, they've told us exactly what they want to do through their actions, through who they're hiring at coach. And of course, signing Gus Edwards as like the bit that we all talked about, they just did. I do feel like Cliff just bringing in three A-dot, no yak kind of guys, it's already starting to tip the hand of what's going to happen here.
Man, that is so true. That is really depressing. The horizontal raid comes to our nation's capital. We need maybe an executive order, maybe a bipartisan bill to ban the horizontal raid, at least in federal districts.
It's the last thing that we can agree on.
FedEx Field's not even in the district. It's in Virginia. It's in Maryland.
It's in Prince George's County, Maryland, baby. And it's not FedEx Field anymore. By the way, they pulled
what?
The
really
yeah.
FedEx is too ashamed.
They stopped that naming rights thing, and now they're gonna maybe producer Adam has more information on that, but it's gonna be something else. I'm sure it's gonna be something really cool.
Bluebell ice cream,
a name that we've definitely heard before and that we can understand the company's function.
Heineken NA Field.
No. It will not be anything cool like that.
the NA was rough. I was like, oh, hi, Pat, you said Heineken. I was like, that's all right. Heineken
NA is kind of ugly. They want to promote their NA. Beers.
That was like Steelers going from Heinz, which is like goofy, but it was very homey, very Midwestern, to Acrisure.
Acrisure. I mean, let's just be real. I hope they don't sponsor our podcast. It's the worst stadium name I've ever heard in my entire life. So bad. A stadium name should never be so bad that it makes you pine for the previous corporate name.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
Crypto.com Arena should not have me pining for Staples Center.
Yeah, right. Right. Back, you know, in the 90s, Staples Center, huh?
No.
But now it's like, oh god, Staples Center, the classic.
Pat, you remember last show? I forget, it was the something something role, and you did you cried and looked solemnly into the camera.
Wait, for what?
I don't know. It was like, say the Tony Pollard 2022 role or whatever, and you gave us the Vince McMahon crying meme. Buddy, the Staples Center.
Staples Center.
By the way, producer Adam says it's currently called Commander's Field, and it has no sponsor because everyone knows it's a dump. I mean, it is actually,
well, at least ironically,
JFK Park or something.
Yeah, ironically, Commander's Field would have gone hard in like the 80s or 90s, but now we just know it's because no one's paid them yet, which is kind of sad.
Well, they used to play at RFK, man.
You know what? I just, first off, my final rant, then we'll end the show. All the richest teams in America, the most iconic brands in America, all managed to not sell the naming rights. Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium, Soldier Field. And yet, why is it accepted as an article of faith? Well, you just got to have that revenue stream. The Yankees are bankrupt without selling the name. No, they're still insanely rich. Just have dignity, create an aura, and actually name your stadium something real. Like, you ever thought about that?
Is it called Cowboys Stadium?
It used to be. Now it's AT&T Stadium.
Yes. Yeah.
AT&T. The best reception in the business.
That's the whole name of the stadium. AT&T Stadium, AT&T, the best reception in the business.
Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, Yankee Stadium, Dodger Stadium. Somehow all these teams managed to remain rich without a corporate.
Well, Pat, you claim to not like the corporate fields, but Wrigley is a corporate field.
That's so true. And Busch Stadium used to be corporate too.
It's curious.
It's very curious.
Didn't the like Memphis Grizzlies used to play in a giant Bass Pro Shop pyramid?
It is not the pyramid.
No.
Yes. This is a true.
You got to Google this, Denny. It's insane.
True facts that we need to end the show. We didn't get to Antonio Gibson. We didn't get to Gus Edwards. We didn't get to Devin Singletary. We're gonna try to get there Thursday. We didn't get to Gabe Davis. We're hoping there's been more receiver movement by Thursday, and we can have a receiver themed show on the Road to World Football.
We have Devontae Parker going to the Eagles, by the way.
Wait, really? End the show.
Great. Yeah, it's over. Sirianni, just retire now. Man, oh my god! So hold on. They seriously signed Devontae Parker. You know what this means?
No.
Sirianni fired week by. Bill Belichick has already purchased like a house in Delaware or suburban Delaware or whatever.
outside Philadelphia. Get ready to learn Bill Belichick, buddy. He's coming.
Bill Belichick will follow Devontae Parker wherever he goes.
The ends of the earth. Keep it locked to rotoworld.com for more breaking news like Devontae Parker for the Eagles, for Denny Carter, for Kyle Dvorak, and Patrick Daugherty. Thank you for listening. We'll be back in 48 hours.
Is it just me, or is it getting really hard to figure out the best way to save for retirement? Fidelity can help you find clarity so you can save the best way for you. With a free personalized plan, goal tracking, and timely insights, you'll be set to take on retirement your way. Get started at fidelity.com/future. Expenses charged by your investments and other costs and fees associated with trading or transacting in your account apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services member NYSE SIPC.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.